Grace to you and peace in God the Father and from our Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, we have had a visual demonstration of the familiar rehearsal of the gospel, let my prayers be set forth before thee as incense. To that I would add the spoken word, a positive note, by saying that prayer is effective. But the Bible says it is, and that Jesus, the only righteous one who ever walked this earth without sin, never told a falsehood, encourage that men ought always to pray and never to be happy. And he backed up this encouragement by his own personal life of prayer. I don't know how scholarly it is, but there are always people who do a lot of counting of things in the New Testament as well as the Old. And somebody counted here and reports that there are more recorded instances in the New Testament of Jesus praying than there are of him teaching to multitudes, or teaching by parables, or conversing with individuals, or visiting in the homes of his followers. So Jesus' quantity for prayer is always positive. He never asked if there were not necessary. There was never a hint in any prayer of his that God just possibly might not be listening, so what difference does it make? Throughout the New Testament, the ministry of Jesus comes to clearly saying that prayer is powerful, it is effective, it is worthwhile, it does things. Now, a number of years ago, there was a doctor and his wife who listened faithfully to the Luke and I, and he sent Dr. Huston, who is a copy of an article printed in a medical journal prepared by another doctor. And this doctor taken up the suggestion that if prayer really works, then the result ought to be susceptible to statistical observation. So this man did a scientific study. And people who were, one group had parents and friends praying for them, while the other group, who had knowledge, best knowledge of the doctor, had no one offering up prayers for them. And everything was very controlled in this experiment, had severity, severity of illness, and anything that could possibly play a role in the result. And the result was sensational. Those people who had friends and family praying for them had a 90% improvement over those for whom no prayers, as the doctor said to be praying, were offered. Is there anyone here who is sick? St. James in the New Testament says that he should call the sick, and the church elders and pastors ask them to pray for him in the name of the Lord. And that your prayer may not always be as we have anticipated, but the answer will be finally good for us and better than we have anticipated. And now the question arises, why is there so little prayer? Is it that we do not have the time in the pressure of our day? Well, I think we can reject that because we always finally do those things that we really want to do. I would submit that the answer is basically this. We human beings like to solve our problems by ourselves, and we hesitate to ask for help. Prayer is an admission of our inadequacy. It is a confession of weakness. And when you pray, you are saying that you do not have the power that you sometimes think you have or would like others to think you have. Now, what most people do not realize is that this first admission of weakness before God in prayer is really the first step also on the way to power. And the power we're talking about here comes not from prayer itself, but from the God who hears prayer. So true prayer, then, is simply turning our entire concern over to the Lord, thanking it in His hands. And I'm convinced that once a person turns everything over to the Lord, he does come to the sure conviction that God answers everything. Sometimes with a yes, sometimes with a no, but always in a way that is superior for us. For God has promised. If you then be either the head of your good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask Him? What happened with the centurion here in our text? He came and asked Jesus to heal his servant, and we're told, returning to his house, he found the servant whole. He had been healed of his sickness. So, let's learn to trust in the Lord. After all, ultimately, you have to, and you're ready to, at the time of death, when you depart this life, and if you can trust Him to take you through the valley of the shadow of death, you can still trust Him in the lesser things. Put yourself into the hands of God. He in Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross, accomplished your total and complete salvation. And on Calvary, Christ answered man's greatest need by giving his life as a sin offering to God. And St. Paul says, if God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? You can trust to God like that. Amen. The matter is God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, preserve your body and soul and spirit blameless since the coming of our